Good morning, Ava. It is Friday, July 17, 2026, and today's signal is that the AI trade has escaped the equity screen. It is showing up in bond supply, credit capacity, labor income, permitting, and even the mechanics of index flows. The question is no longer simply whether AI demand is real. It is whether the financing, revenue conversion, and labor transition can all arrive in the right order.
Exactly. And a quick evidence note before we start. Today's written brief covered 9 confirmed in-window episodes from 9 podcasts, with usable episode match text for all 9. We will name each source before we use it, and we will keep scenario claims separate from observed data. The most important tension is timing. Capital spending is happening now, monetization is less visible, and the labor consequences could unfold over years or much faster.
Let us start with thoughts on the market, where Morgan Stanley's Lindsay Tyler and Anish Shah map the funding stack for AI infrastructure. They said a handful of players could add more than 30 gigawatts of data center capacity over 2 years, requiring roughly $2 trillion of cash capital expenditure. Their rule of thumb was about $12 billion per gigawatt for the shell before chips and racks, which can more than double the bill.
And on that same thoughts on the market episode, the financing mix matters as much as the headline amount. Hyperscaler issuance has moved from less than 1% to more than 10% of the investment grade market. AI-related funding could eventually exceed 15% of issuance across credit products, while public high-yield markets have financed more than $30 billion across 15 data center deals since fall 2025. That is a capital markets absorption problem before it is a solvency problem.
Right. Thoughts on the market also laid out the channels beyond ordinary bonds, private credit, project finance, asset-backed loans against GPUs and TPUs, and eventually utility capital. The underwriting questions are whether capacity finishes on time, whether compute is fungible, whether hardware becomes obsolete, and whether leases or guarantees quietly move project risk back onto public issuers. If the obligation is economically theirs, funded debt alone does not show the whole exposure.
Goldman Sachs Exchanges then supplied a market price check. Brian Garrett cited a $5.5 to $6 trillion financing need for the 2025 through 2030 AI buildout and said Goldman's hyperscaler bond basket had widened 22 basis points in the prior week. His explanation was concentration. Fixed income portfolios have finite room for an ever larger technology weight, even when the borrowers remain strong credits.
That distinction is critical. On Goldman Sachs Exchanges, the warning was not that a hyperscaler suddenly cannot pay. It was that historically asset-light, buyback-heavy platforms are becoming more capital-intensive just as the bond market is asked to absorb much more of them. Wider concessions can therefore be the first live referendum on marginal AI economics, long before an income statement makes the problem obvious.
And TBPN showed equity investors asking a parallel question. Its discussion of TSMC's additional $100 billion of U.S. investment came with a negative NASDAQ reaction to higher spending despite strong results. That does not say AI demand is absent. It says the marginal dollar now needs a credible bridge from CapEx to utilization, revenue, and free cash flow. Today's source set gave precise spending numbers, but no clean company-level bridge to incremental cash returns.
So the first cross-current comes from thoughts on the market, Goldman Sachs Exchanges, and TBPN together. Compute demand drives CapEx and guarantees. That creates a larger credit weight, wider concessions, tighter portfolio capacity, and a higher hurdle rate for the next data center project. Until realized cash return per incremental gigawatt becomes visible, credit spreads may be the cleanest market signal of whether physical supply is outrunning monetization.
Now move to earnings. On Goldman Sachs Exchanges, Garrett described a two-part hurdle for the coming wave. Goldman analysts expected 22% year-over-year earnings growth, while the average S&P 500 stock was pricing a 5.5% earnings move, 60 to 70 basis points above the long-run average. A company can beat consensus and still disappoint if it fails to clear the volatility already embedded in the stock.
Goldman's prime brokerage data added a useful positioning wrinkle. Roughly 75% of global equity buying done off the April lows had reportedly been sold before earnings. Cleaner positioning could create re-entry demand, but it does not lower the implied move hurdle. Next week, when roughly 20% of S&P 500 market capitalization reports, the proper comparison is not just actual EPS versus consensus. It is actual stock movement versus the 5.5% move investors paid for.
Goldman Sachs Exchanges also described a fractured volatility regime. KOSPI implied volatility was above its global financial crisis level while S&P index volatility remained muted. About 1 in 5 ETFs in the overall universe and 1 in 3 launched year to date included leverage or an inverse methodology. Large products can create short gamma rebalancing, buying strength and selling weakness, while low cross-stock correlation keeps index volatility deceptively calm.
Which means VIX can look relaxed while the cost of owning the wrong single name is brutal. Goldman's tactical response was bounded rather than outright bearish. Garrett favored collars on some long single stock positions because rich call demand could help fund downside puts. He also cited OneTouch Index Structures offering about 5 times payout on a 7% S&P decline by end August and about 10 times on a 10% decline, with all the path, expiry, and counterparty risks that implies.
Excess returns gave the broader process rule through Jack Schwager's Market Wizards lessons. Mark every position as if you were initiating it today. When uncertainty rises, cut exposure instead of forcing a binary hold or exit decision. Specify entry, invalidation, and maximum portfolio risk before choosing size. The episode used 1 to 2% of assets as an illustrative risk budget, not a universal prescription, and stressed that money management cannot rescue a strategy with no edge.
That links cleanly to Goldman's structures and to Carson Block later. Use bounded convexity, define maximum loss, and avoid mistaking confidence for risk control. The strongest version of the rule is simple enough to execute under pressure. If the market moves before you have defined what would invalidate the position, you are no longer analyzing, you are improvising while emotionally exposed.
Let S add oil and China. On the indicator from Planet Money, the hosts use China's 7% year-over-year decline in second quarter nitrogen dioxide pollution as an indirect demand signal. They discuss Chinese GDP growth at 4.3%, down from 5% at the start of 2026, and argued that lower oil imports after the Hormuz disruption may reflect less internal combustion driving plus greater electric car and public transit use.
So on the indicator, muted oil is not automatically an all-clear on supply. It could be a demand elasticity and weaker growth signal. The same episode said President Trump's proposed 20% fee on cargo transiting the Strait of Hormuz was withdrawn after opposition inside the administration and a statement from the UN Maritime Agency that it lacked a legal basis. But Iranian media threats toward Bab al-Mandeb preserve tail risk for Saudi export routes and freight insurance.
The lesson from the indicator is that a disappeared fee shock and a subdued oil price can hide two different things. The immediate legal threat may have faded, while demand weakness and a second choke point remain. That is why the price alone is ambiguous. You need to separate physical supply risk, freight risk optionality, and demand substitution rather than compressing them into one bullish or bearish oil narrative.
Now the labor leg. On Hard Fork, Stanford economist Eric Brynjolfsson argued that AI's effect should follow a productivity J-curve measured in years, because firms need time to redesign organizations. His dashboard showed early career employment down 2.7% year-over-year while mid-career employment rose 1.6%, even with headline unemployment near 4%. He treated the early career divergence as a plausible canary, not proof of an overnight collapse.
On the Meb Faber show, Carson Block presented a much harsher scenario, roughly 15% of U.S. knowledge workers displaced within 3 years. His transmission map runs from job loss to weaker 401k contributions, forced sales in taxable and retirement accounts, index pressure, and eventually wider credit and municipal spreads. The brief explicitly classifies his timing and magnitude as scenario estimates, not observed facts, so the mechanism is more useful than the forecast precision.
Hard Fork and the Meb Faber show therefore agree on exposure but disagree on speed. Brynjolfsson sees a multi-year organizational transition and says managers can steer AI toward complementary products, better services, and lower turnover. Block sees a sharper displacement cycle that hits retirement flows and aggregate demand. The investable question is whether productivity creates new tasks before entry-level career ladders break.
The next two quarters give us a falsification test from Hard Fork's Stanford data. If the early career versus mid-career employment gap stabilizes while AI adoption rises, the rapid displacement case weakens. If the gap widens and corporate AI disclosures increasingly emphasize headcount reduction rather than revenue creation, it strengthens. Headline unemployment is too lagging and too aggregated to resolve that debate by itself.
Let us turn to models. On TBPN, Thinking Machines Lab's first model, Inkling, was described as a 975 billion total parameter mixture model with roughly 41 billion active parameters. The product was not presented as the strongest frontier model. Its differentiation was open weights plus compatibility with the Tinker fine-tuning platform, which creates a managed open-source model. Customers can take the weights but may pay for customization and tooling.
TBPN also complicated the word open. U.S. enterprises may want a Western open-weight alternative to Chinese models, while Beijing was reportedly debating tighter overseas access to leading domestic models. Yet Thinking Machines' own materials reportedly acknowledged bootstrapping supervised fine-tuning with synthetic data from open-weight models including Kimi K2.5. Distillation is a spectrum, not a clean yes or no category.
And TBPN attributed a very large policy claim to Anthropic, millions of suspected distillation accounts shut down per week, alongside a push for stronger allied restrictions on Chinese model adoption. That scale requires external verification before use. Still, the mechanism matters. Open weights can distribute capability globally, while provenance disputes can turn model access into a block-level policy question resembling telecom trust frameworks.
On Hard Fork, the hosts judged GPT-5.6 Sol a meaningful improvement in coding and critique quality, and they interpreted repeated extensions of access to Anthropic's Fable model as a competitive response. Their expectation was more price competition across subscriptions and tokens, which benefits users. Their worry was that growing public antagonism among frontier labs makes coordination harder if a safety event requires shared disclosure, a joint slowdown, or a common incident response.
Hard Fork also covered Apple's lawsuit against OpenAI and IO, a hardware company acquired for more than $6 billion. Apple alleged that former employees brought confidential hardware knowledge and materials into OpenAI. OpenAI denied interest in other companies' trade secrets. Those allegations are unadjudicated. The near-term investment mechanism is process risk, discovery, injunctions, or launch delays can matter even before damages are decided.
Now trust. On the Vergecast, Pangram's CEO Max Spiro said his AI detector reduced its measured false positive rate from 0.1% to 0.01%, roughly 1 in 10,000, using active learning. The system mines difficult human examples near the decision boundary, creates synthetic AI mirrors, and learns many small distinctions rather than relying mainly on perplexity. Longer documents provide more confidence. Short posts still have wider error bars.
The Vergecast described the commercial wedge's integration into workflows, Canvas for educators, publishing systems, and data quality checks for AI labs that pay experts for training material. Pangram trains against humanizer tools and leans heavily on pre-2022 human text to avoid contamination. That is both moat and vulnerability, because adversarial examples improve the detector while clean contemporary human corpora become scarcer.
And the Vergecast's operational conclusion is essential. Detection should be evidentiary triage followed by human inquiry, not automatic punishment. Hard Fork S. Brown University story explains the demand for verification, a 96% average on a take-home midterm versus 48.6% on an in-person final, but also the danger of trusting one score. Drafts, live defenses, reproducible work, and disclosed AI assistants preserve proof of thought more reliably.
The A16Z podcast added another form of authenticity through Replit CEO Amjad Masud. He said public storytelling helped Replit survive years before commercial momentum by supporting fundraising and recruiting. His channel split was X for elite and early adopter influence, while Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube reached the early majority. His practical rule was to publish thinking that would otherwise stay internal and respond to controversy only when it can affect the business.
On that A16Z episode, Masud's database incident example was concrete. Acknowledge the failure, then ship development and production separation within 2 days. The mechanism is not that every chief executive should become an influencer. It is distribution cost leverage, when a company must recruit believers before revenue validates the narrative. The falsifier is equally concrete. Audience reach rises while qualified pipeline, recruiting yield, retention, and fundraising terms do not improve.
Geopolitics now. The indicator and TBPN together show physical and digital choke points converging. The indicator's Hormuz fee proposal disappeared, but Bab el-Mandeb threats retained freight optionality. TBPN's open model discussion showed capability distribution becoming a US-China policy issue. In both cases, access is the asset, access to a shipping lane, or access to adaptable model weights.
TBPN also described a geography of speed case. Defense startup Saronic chose a $3.2 billion automated shipyard in Brownsville, Texas, over Solano County, California. The project was described as carrying roughly 10,000 permanent jobs, with Texas approving a $211 million tax abatement package, while California's expedited review legislation remained stalled.
Hard Fork supplied the opposite policy choice. New York paused new hyperscale data centers above 50 megawatts for 1 year while studying energy and environmental effects. Put that beside Saronic and Morgan Stanley's view that energy and power are the next financing wave. The beneficiary is not automatically one political color. It is whoever can turn permits, interconnection, power, and community consent into reliable time to operation.
And that view has a clean falsifier. If pause states clarify rules and then build faster, their delay may have purchase certainty. If fast-permitting regions run into grid congestion, lawsuits, or community backlash, the apparent speed advantage disappears. Physical infrastructure creates a mismatch with software economics. Token prices can fall quickly, while shells, cooling, transmission, and power remain slow.
There is also obsolescence in that mismatch. Thoughts on the market identified construction delay as the immediate appetite risk. If a project takes longer, lenders demand more protection and the installed hardware can age before the facility becomes fully productive. So permitting is not merely political friction. It affects financing cost, completion risk, and the economic life of the compute being financed.
Let us tie provenance, ownership, and authenticity together using TBPN, Hard Fork, the Vergecast, and A16Z. Thinking Machines uses synthetic data from other open models. Anthropic alleges adversarial distillation at scale. Apple alleges trade secret transfer through employee movement. Pangram measures whether text appears human. Masud argues founder authenticity recruits believers. These are all disputes over who created value, who can prove it, and whether trust changes an economic outcome.
Time for what we are watching. First, Goldman Sachs Exchanges says roughly 20% of S&P 500 market capitalization reports in the week of July 20. Compare realized moves with the 5.5% average implied move. A beat that cannot clear the option market S-bar tells you expectations were richer than the headline consensus suggested.
Second, Goldman Sachs Exchanges points to the end of July FOMC meeting and PCE inflation data, with inflation rather than employment described as the key variable for the next policy step. Through August expiry, watch whether correlation rises. If it does, cheap index downside relative to single stock volatility should become less cheap, closing the gap behind those bounded convexity structures.
Third, thoughts on the market and Goldman Sachs Exchanges make the next hyperscaler financing round a major catalyst. Track new issue concession, CDS, covenants, guarantees, and whether technology issuance crowds out non-tech borrowers. The financing bottleneck concern weakens if supply grows without wider concessions in cloud or AI revenue produces visible realized returns.
Fourth, TBPN and the broader brief make the next CapEx update an ROI test. TSMC and the hyperscalers need to connect additional spending to utilization, revenue, and free cash flow. Another increase without monetization evidence raises the hurdle. Conversely, visible revenue conversion without leverage drift would directly falsify the darker version of the credit capacity thesis.
Fifth, hard fork as Stanford employment gap is the labor test for the next two quarters. Stabilization weakens the fast displacement scenario. Further divergence strengthens it. And by July 2027, The Vergecast says the European Union will require Google to give rival AI assistants access on Android comparable to Gemini, including voice activation and app control. That is a data distribution catalyst, not a vague policy risk.
So the closing signal from thoughts on the market, Goldman Sachs Exchanges, Hard Fork, The Meb Faber Show, TBPN, and The Vergecast is a three-variable underwriting problem. Watch the cost and concentration of financing, the time to revenue on new compute, and the distribution of productivity gains between labor and capital. None of those can be answered by the NASDAQ alone.
Exactly. Credit spreads tell us whether capital absorption is tightening. CapEx to cash flow conversion tells us whether the physical build earns its keep. Early career employment tells us whether the productivity dividend is arriving with or without a broken career ladder. Add permitting and provenance, and AI becomes a full economic system rather than a software feature.
That is the Friday map. Keep the claims attributed, keep the scenarios labeled, and keep the falsifiers close. We will be watching earnings versus implied moves, hyperscaler financing terms, the end of July macro data, CapEx monetization, and the early career labor gap. Have a good weekend.
And remember the Schwager lesson from Excess Returns: know the edge, define the invalidation, and size the risk before the market starts arguing with you. We will be back with the next morning signal.